Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and our phone lines, as always at this time, are wide open, and we want to hear from you. That number, 844-322-2742. If you're having some struggle in life, if you have a Bible question, something you can't quite understand in Scripture, good opportunity to call straight into the studio right now at 844-322-2742. And I really do hope that you'll do that now, because it is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob, and yes, I agree with you. I hope many of our listeners will call in today, 844-322-2742. We're talking about how to advance in the gospel personally, how to advance the gospel around the world. That's really the subject matter of Paul's letter to the Philippians. And he wrote this in the first chapter. He says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now, that's a perspective. That's an attitude. That's a godly attitude that the grace of God has worked in Paul's life. And he has recognized that there's nothing better in life than knowing Jesus. There's nothing more meaningful in life than sharing the love of Christ with others. And that's what he did. That's what God set him apart to do. So he took this message concerning Christ out into the Gentile world. And he suffered all types of persecution. And when he was writing this particular letter to the Philippians, he was in prison. Mm-hmm. Now, you would look at that and you would say, man, things are bad. I should be out there. I should be out there on the front lines taking this gospel message to other places around the world, and yet I'm behind bars. And you could think, oh, no, this gospel message is just going to be stifled. It's just going to stop right here and now. But Paul had a different idea, a different understanding, a different attitude. He recognized that his circumstances, as bleak and as dark as they were, the fact that he was behind bars was not stifling or thwarting God's plan to advance the gospel. It was actually serving to advance the gospel.
Through the imperial guard.
That's exactly right. So the imperial guards knew that he was imprisoned because of Christ, and so they were able to hear that. That in and of itself opened their ears to hear the story, to hear the message concerning Christ. And then those who were friends of Paul, brothers and sisters in Christ, they became more bold in their proclamation. So this served to advance the gospel in a number of ways, to take the gospel to the imperial guard, to those in charge of where Paul was imprisoned, and then to embolden the other believers to say, hey, if Paul can't go out and speak, somebody needs to, and I'm going to rise up and be that guy. I'm going to be a voice for the gospel of Jesus Christ in the world today. Yeah. Now, that's powerful. That is so powerful. And I just pray that we as Basic Gospel Nation can develop this attitude that Paul had, that everything that happens in life, that we can see it from the vantage point that God may be using this to advance the gospel. God may be using this to embolden others in their proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ. I just pray that God can develop this attitude in us, and for us to be able to see that there's nothing more valuable for the world today than the good news of Jesus Christ. It's what people need in their own personal lives. It's what the world needs to hear as far as a message going out today. So let's be bold in our proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's partner together and advance this gospel out there in the world today.
Well, in line with what you're saying, Bob, of course, you have produced a new CD series called Advance. And friends, we want to let you know that for your renewed gift to Basic Gospel, we'll send you a copy of the series that will give you the tools you need to advance the gospel into your own life, to grow in the grace of God and knowledge of Jesus Christ. As well, you'll be encouraged to know that God is working through you and your circumstance to advance the gospel around the world today. So for those of you who support Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts, we'll send you this latest resource called Advance. It's our way of saying thank you for your gift of support for Basic Gospel in the month of February. Again, make your gift now or anytime at basicgospel.net. Well, once again, the phone number, wide open lines at 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear your voice on this edition of Basic Gospel, so call now, 844-322-2742. In the meantime, we're going to swing up to Alberta, British Columbia, and hear from Jill.
Hi, gentlemen. It's Jill calling from Alberta, Canada. I have concern about the inoculations for COVID. Being a staunch pro-life Christian, I know that the vaccines have been developed with using fetal abortion DNA, and I believe that they might not use it in the initial development, but they certainly tested on it, and from what I understand, it's like an aborted baby from 1973, which would make this a 48-year-old person if that poor child hadn't been killed. Anyway, I don't know. I'm really torn whether I should even consider having such a horrible inoculation.
Well, Jill, I think that could be an ethical dilemma for many, many Christians around the world. I think, you know, many are probably going to get the vaccination without any knowledge or any idea of how this vaccination came to be, how it was tested, how it was developed. You know, I've looked on, tried to do some research as far as the vaccination is concerned, and you know, what I've come up with is that as far as Pfizer and Moderna are concerned, that they did use some cell lines from aborted babies in the testing, but not in the development or the production of it. There are other companies that are doing some things, and I'm not sure of what their use was. But I think in a situation like this, you're going to have to make a decision and let your conscience be your guide as far as that is concerned. And to follow, I think, what Paul says in Romans chapter 14, where he says this, for whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. So if you're looking at that and see that your participation or your taking the vaccine would be sin to you, then you wouldn't want to do it. And I think that's how we would have to look at that. So I just applaud you, Jill, for doing your research and knowing what's going on there. Yeah. And to be able to take this situation to the Lord and to ask him to be your conscience, basically, as far as a decision for you is concerned. So I just encourage you to look at Romans 15, or 14, and that would be the very last verse, 23. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith. And it's really this last phrase that is the significant phrase, for whatever does not proceed from faith is sin.
Yes, indeed. Well, Jill, hope that's a help to you. I know it will be a help to many people who are listening to this particular broadcast. So thank you for posing that question. Again, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742.
Let's go to Kansas and talk to Tracy. Hi, Tracy. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hey, Tracy.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
We're doing well. How about you, my friend?
Really good. I love what you guys are sharing today, and it kind of inspired me to share a little bit of something that I think when people want to share the gospel message, they're wanting glory or they're wanting satisfaction out of it. And the real truth of it is, if you look in John 17, where he's doing his prayer, it says in verse 22, I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. So really, we should be celebrating that we already have glory through him, in him, that's basically what we should be sharing to other people. It's not you have to find or get glory. You already have that inside of you. And I really hope it inspires people that when you go share the gospel, you're already glorified by just him in you. You don't need anything else. And I think that's the biggest thing as people look to themselves and try to look for self-righteousness or self-glory, and that's where they often stumble.
Yeah, so many people share faith, and Paul actually talks about that, you know, as far as the motivations that people had. That's kind of the next section of Philippians chapter 1. He says, I'm not so concerned about that. What I'm concerned about is that the message concerning Christ is getting out, and God can use that. And that's the miracle that we tell people about Jesus. It doesn't matter the motivation in our hearts as far as God is concerned. Of course, God is going to work on the motivations of our heart. He's going to complete the work that he began in us. So we can rest assured that our attitudes and our motivations are going to change as we grow in the grace of God. But if somebody is delivering the message out of a selfish motivation, God can still use that. And that's good news, and that's what Paul talks about. But, Tracy, I agree with you 100%. As you were talking there, I started thinking about some of these stories that we'll hear on occasion, how somebody sees somebody else in trouble, and they just react, and they go and help that person and save that person. And then everybody calls them a hero, and they get on these different interview programs, and they're asked about that. And they said, well, heck no, I'm not a hero. I'm just doing what any other human would do in that situation. And I think when we share the gospel, that's kind of what our attitude ought to be. We're just seeing people who are dead and trespasses and sins who need life. And so we just react. We just respond to that and say, here's your answer. It's Jesus. He died to take away your sins. He was raised so that you could walk in the newness of life. Believe him, and your problem is solved. And so I think we just go about our lives and we see the needs. And when we see the spiritual needs that are out there, then we're going to be a part of this story of advancing the gospel out there in the world. So, Tracy, great insights today. Sure appreciate you jumping on with us.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, Tracy.
Thanks for letting me share. I appreciate it.
You are so welcome, my friend.
Still plenty of time on the clock. Open lines, 844-322-2742. Bob, we had another call that came in off hours. Let's listen.
Good afternoon. My question is, in Genesis 27, 41 through 42, Esau said in his heart that he would kill his brother Jacob. And 42 says that Rebekah was told that Esau comforted himself by intending to kill Jacob. My question is, who told Rebekah that Esau planned to kill Jacob if Esau never said it out loud? Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, that's a good question, and you just have to make the assumption that God was the one that informed her, that gave her that information. God had certainly given her the information about Jacob being the one to have the birthright, that Esau was going to serve Jacob. The older was going to serve the younger. So God told her that information, and we just assume that God would be the one informing her of this as well. So hope that helps. Thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it.
Yes, indeed, we do. Again, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go and talk with Michael, listening to us in Texas today. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you today?
We're doing well. What's on your mind?
Well, I kind of wanted to share, maybe a little bit of praise, I guess.
We like that.
Well, you talk about sharing the gospel, and my wife and I have had a unique opportunity to share the gospel, but not quite in the way that we anticipated. My wife was big into Christmas, and she had gone, She had done a lot, and she's gone in there in our bedroom above our bed. She had our wedding vows and our pictures and all of that up there, and was really proud of that. And she wanted to do our children and grandchildren and put their pictures up on the living room. She didn't really like a frame that she had or a mat board. We live rather rural southeast Oklahoma. And so she had gone down to Paris, Texas, about 75 miles to Hobby Lobby, and to kind of see what she could get down there. Well, she got within about 8 miles of home, and she fell asleep at the wheel and had an accident.
No goodness.
They transported her by ambulance to a little R County seat called Antlers, Oklahoma, and a helicopter to Medical City of Plano, Texas, I guess, which is a premier spinal and head trauma hospital. We spent from the 26th of December to the 26th of January there. My wife is now quadriplegic.
Mm.
She has movement of her arms, but virtually not really any grip strength in her hands. She's since been released to a spinal rehab facility in Sherman, which is where I'm headed to now. She called me yesterday and told me that she has been diagnosed with the COVID.
Oh, my goodness.
So she's going to be in quarantine for 10 days. But all of that being said, the point that I want to try to make here is that throughout all of this, even down at the hospital down there, I cannot begin to tell you the number of people that I met, various places, parking lots, restaurants, so on and so forth, who were willing to take the time to pray with me and for my wife, the Christian witness that she was. She had nurses flocking in and out of her room. She required all this care, but because of Evelyn's faith,
yeah.
Because it just shines in her. And such a positive individual. And I guess the point I'm trying to make in all this is that even in the very, you talked about Paul in prison, even in what we consider to be our darkest times, given that opportunity, we can still show Christ to others. We can discover that our Christian brothers and sisters are everywhere out there, and it's all to God's glory.
Yes, indeed.
It's all about Him, and it's an opportunity that words cannot express. I tell people, I'm in my 70s. I'm a former Marine and a Vietnam vet. It's been many, many years since I've had an opportunity to know the kind of love that I have come to know once again, and that love is that love of Christ.
Yes.
And there's just simply no way to express that. It's the most honoring, the most humbling thing I've ever known in my life.
Well, Michael, I'm just so glad you called to share that story. It really ties into what we were talking about as far as Paul and advancing the gospel and God using these circumstances to show forth His love to us, to comfort us, and all the things that you've talked about as far as receiving from fellow members of the body of Christ, but then also using that situation to let others know that there's something more real than what we can see in this world, and that is Jesus Christ Himself. So,
yes, indeed,
Michael,
Amen.
We certainly appreciate it.
Michael, your story just literally brought tears to my eyes because I've seen it myself. In any time I've gone into a health situation where it was unknown and I didn't know the outcome, God's people are there, and they just surround you.
Yes, indeed. And we're so grateful that that's the case for you.
And that opportunity to be that witness, to yes. be that testimony, to show that light before others, I think is the greatest gift of all.
Yeah, that's exactly.
I mean, how do you put a value on that?
Oh, you can't.
You know,
when
one understands what Christ did for us, and to think that we have been chosen throughout all this adversity to be able to give back to Him.
Absolutely.
That He would be glorified. I mean.
Well, Michael, let me do this. I just feel inspired to pray for you and your wife, to pray in gratefulness and just for His comfort. So let me do that. Dear Lord, thank you so much for Michael today. Thank you for his willingness to call to share his story. We lift up his wife to you. We lift up Michael to you, that you would continue to comfort him, to show forth your love, your presence, your peace through all of this. And thank you for the wonderful attitude and perspective that you've developed in them so that they can see this through your eyes and know that you're working it together for good. And so, again, we thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, and how those are playing out in such a marvelous way in Michael's life and in his wife's life as well. And we give you the praise and glory, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Michael, thank you so much for calling. You hold the line, and we want to get some more information from you and just find out how we can continue to journey with you through this, okay? You hold the line.
Michael, thank you so much.
Yes, indeed.
What a testimony, Bob.
Yes, yes.
God's people are everywhere.
Well, that's Paul's perspective. For me to live as Christ, we see our circumstances and God using it to advance the gospel. It's just a miraculous thing.
Yeah.
And so we're so grateful for that. We also had this question that came to us from YouTube from one of our viewers, B, and she says, would you please explain the deeds that Paul is talking about in Titus 1:16? I know disbelief is what condemns us, but he doesn't seem to be referring to that. And here's what Titus 1:16 says. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works or deeds. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. And I think what Paul is referring to are the deeds of the flesh or the works of the flesh. He outlines those in Galatians chapter 5, 19, verse 19. He says, now the works of the flesh are evident. And I think that's what Paul is saying. So anyone who is lost, they are in the flesh, and they are going to be exhibiting the works of the flesh. And because they are in the flesh, unlost, that makes them unfit for any good work. We have to be saved in order for us to be taken out of the flesh and put in the Spirit, so the works of the Spirit can start to flow through us. So that's what Paul is talking about here, the works of the flesh. So, B, great question, as always. Thank you for asking that on today's edition of Basic Gospel.
Yes, indeed. We love hearing from our listeners, Bob, and we just encourage you, if you have questions, if you have some life issue that you're going through, Michael and his wife are really going through it, and we pray that you will continue to lift them up to the Lord for comfort and mercy and guidance in everything that they're going to be facing as they go forward. And it's a tough spot that they're in. And so our hearts just go out to them. And, man, what a testimony.
Yes,
just literally tore me up. Well, friends, thanks for being with us today. And we look forward to being back with you again tomorrow. Please remember that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported program. And we hope you all will support this ministry and this message with your gift at basicgospel.net. And when you donate, be sure to request your copy of Bob Christopher's latest CD series. It's called Advance, your chance to advance your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and help Basic Gospel advance the gospel at the same time. Again, you can donate at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for our Friday teaching edition. It's called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And if you don't have a copy of the study guide or the book, you can go to the archive page. You can go to basicgospel.net/teaching and get your copy and be ready for the study. Well, again, we'll see you tomorrow at the same time. Bye-bye.